What are you thinking about right now? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Maybe you're thinking in your mind, you know, if the rapture does hit, that's when I'm going to get saved. Don't be so sure. You have an opportunity right now to trust Jesus if you've never done so.
This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us today, where you're going to learn all about the rise of the Antichrist and the fall of the Antichrist and what that may mean to you. The Bible tells us a lot about this coming man of sin known as the Antichrist. There are about 100 passages in the Bible that are dedicated to him, telling us about his rise, his reign, and his character, and the destruction he's going to bring. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote two letters to the Thessalonians, talks at length about this coming world leader. Pastor Jeff Shreve shares some important truths about that today in the message, The Rise and Fall of the Antichrist. It's from his new 8-message series, The Church in the Last Days. Let's get started. Open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
So I want to share with you today 3 reminders from the scripture of what the Bible says concerning the Antichrist. 3 reminders from scripture. Number 1, the Antichrist will be revealed after the rapture. Some people spend a lot of time trying to figure out who the Antichrist is. You can't know who the Antichrist is because he's going to be revealed after the Lord takes the church up in the clouds to be with him in the air. He takes his true believers out. Now, I think the Bible makes this very, very clear. Beginning in verse 6, it says, you know what restrains him, the man of sin, so that in his time he may be revealed. He's not revealed yet. You don't know who he is because he's not revealed. Second reminder, the Antichrist will claim to be God and demand to be worshiped. Verse 3, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. So the Bible tells us this, very key verse, Daniel 9:27. That lays out the tribulation period. That's where we come up with 7 years of tribulation. Daniel 9 says this, and he, speaking of this prince who is to come, speaking of this man of sin, he will make a firm covenant with the many, meaning Israel, with Israel for 1 week. Not a week of days, a week of years, for 7 years. But in the middle of the week, at the 3.5-year mark, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 24 in his Olivet Discourse. He talked about the abomination of desolation. The abomination of desolation is when the man of sin, the lawless one, comes into the temple, the rebuilt temple, and says, no more sacrifices. I am God, you worship me. And Jesus said, when that happens, you get out of the city, you flee the city, because it's going to be hell on earth from that point on. He's given 3.5 years to act after he reveals his true color. See, you got to remember about the devil. He's a deceiver. So he never comes and shows you who he really is. He comes disguised. He disguises himself as an angel of light so that you would believe him. If he ever showed his true colors and came at you the way he really is, you would back off and say, no way am I going to follow that. You know, if the devil had told Eve in the garden, hey, Eve, why don't you eat this fruit? Why don't you disobey God? Because if you do that, then I can wreck the world. I can cause your kids to kill each other. I can ruin your life and ruin your legacy. Well, you're going to eat the fruit after he tells you that? That's the truth. But the only way the devil gets his work done is through lies. And so when the Antichrist comes on the scene, well, he rides a white horse. He looks like the hero. He looks like the guy that's making everything good for everybody. Wow, this guy is great. And then he conquers death. Whoa. And then he sets himself up in the temple of God and says, I am God. You worship me. And the devil has a teammate. You know, the devil is a copycat. He knows that God is Trinity. He knows God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the three in one. And so the devil is a created being. God is the creator. So the devil tries to mimic God. And you have the devil, the serpent of old, the dragon. Revelation chapter 2 calls him, 12 calls him a dragon. He's the counterpart of God the Father. The Antichrist, the beast, he's the counterpart to God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you have a third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And the devil has a counterfeit Holy Spirit. He's called the false prophet. And the false prophet does what the Holy Spirit does, because Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he shall glorify me. For he shines the light on Jesus and points the way to Jesus. The false prophet points to the Antichrist, tells everybody to worship the Antichrist. The false prophet is going to set up an image in the temple, not of Zeus, but of the Antichrist. And he has power to make this image come to life. And there's breath in this image, and he begins to speak. And he says, if you don't worship the beast and his image, well, you're dead. We're going to kill you. You have to do that, because the punishment of not doing it is death. And the way he does it is by making everyone get a mark of allegiance. We call that the mark of the beast. Revelation chapter 13 tells us about the mark of the beast. This is what the scripture says. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which was given him to perform in the presence of the beast. Talking about the he is the false prophet. Telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And there was given him to breathe life to the image of the beast. And the image of the beast might even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And so then he makes everybody get a mark on your right hand or on your forehead. We're very familiar with that. 666. Actually, it's not three separate sixes, but it's 666. His name is going to total 666. We don't know who that is. He hasn't been revealed yet. He won't be revealed until after the rapture. But people will get the mark, which is the number of his name, 666. Some people have said, what's the significance about 666? Six is the number of man. Man was created on the sixth day. Three is the number of God, because God is Trinity. Holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Father. Holy is the Son. Holy is the Spirit. Six, the number of man. Three, the number of God. There are three sixes. 666, it is man sitting on the throne pretending to be God. And you have to get his mark. And if you don't get his mark, you know what? You can't buy and you can't sell. And if you can't buy and you can't sell, you can't live. You can't live. How are you going to live if you can't buy or sell? And so here's what's going to happen to the people left behind. Because there are a bunch of religious people that are going to be left behind. If the rapture came today, I guarantee you there would be churches in our city. They wouldn't have anybody gone. It'd just be, yeah, we're still here. Because they don't preach the gospel, and they don't have people that have really given their hearts to Christ, and they have guys in their pulpit that are religious, but they're lost. I've talked to lots of guys who are pastors, and you talk to them about their relationship with Jesus, and it is really fuzzy, because they don't have a testimony to tell you about when they were born again. And so some of those places, they're going to still be going strong. Hey, well, where'd everybody go? That kind of thing. So those folks, when they're required to get the mark of the beast, they'll say to their folks, well, you know, I mean, hey, we got to be wise here, because if you can't buy ourselves, God's given us a brain. And so we need to do this. We understand that, you know, yeah, we got a pledge allegiance to the beast, but we really know that that's not true. And so after all, a man's got to live. No, he doesn't. A man doesn't have to live. A man has to die and then stand before God. That's what a man has to do and give an account of his life. But these people are going to rationalize that. Let me give you a scripture that shows what happens. Perhaps you're going to be left behind and you're going to be in this situation where you're going to be confronted with getting the mark of the beast and worshiping the beast in his image. Let me give you a scripture, Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 and 10. This is the speech of an angel. And he says this: if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or upon his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. You get the mark of the beast and you seal your fate forever in hell. That's what the scripture says. And so here is the Antichrist. He breaks his covenant. He makes everybody worship him. He says, I am God. And if you don't worship me, I will kill you. And you mark it down. He will murder people by the untold millions. Revelation chapter 13 says this: and there was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. For 3.5 years, he's got carte blanche. He's in charge of all things. God allows him to do that. And he goes after believers to mow them down, to wipe them out. He hates God, and he hates the people of God. The church is gone. It says that he goes after the saints. It doesn't say he goes after the church. The church has been raptured out. But what you have during the tribulation period, you have tribulation saints, those who put their faith and trust in Jesus, and he comes after them. And the fifth seal talks about the martyrs, and they're going to be martyrs by the millions that are killed by the Antichrist. So, reminder number one, he's revealed after the rapture. Reminder number two, he's going to claim to be God and demand to be worshiped. Reminder number three, and this is the good news, he will be destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, and then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. Here's how this works. You have the rapture take place. We're out of here, all those who know Christ. And then however long a period of time, whether it's a month, whether it's 6 months, whether it's a year, whether it's 2 years, we don't know. But this guy is going to rise up, this little horn, and he's going to sign a peace treaty with Israel. And he's going to protect Israel. And he's going to go out the bow with no arrows. And he's going to build this coalition. And he's going to get stronger and stronger. And then he's going to get shot. And he's going to look like he's dead and come back to life. And he sets himself up in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God, demanding everyone to worship. And then he is attacking everyone that stands in his way and every believer that stands in his way. And he's mowing them down by the millions. And during this time, God is pouring out his wrath on the world. It's awful. Jesus said, unless those days had been cut short, everyone would be dead. That's how bad it is. 7 billion people in the world. Everyone would be dead in a short period of time, in 7 years. And so the Lord had to cut those days short. But you have God pouring out seals of wrath and trumpets of wrath and bowls of wrath, and the devil pouring out his disdain and wrath and hatred toward the people of God. Well, here is how it all culminates. You have the devil, he gathers all the armies of all the world, and he gathers them in a place called the Valley of Megiddo, or Armageddon. I've been to that place. You see that field. It's farmland, and it just goes as far as the eye can see. That place one day is going to be filled with soldiers. And those soldiers have gathered there. That's the staging area. And then they're going to go up to attack and destroy Jerusalem, the holy city, destroy the Jews once and for all. Here's the reason why. God has made promises to the Jews. The Lord Jesus is the Son of David, and he is going to come and rule and reign. And those promises are given to the Jews. If the Jews are wiped out, those promises can't come true. And if those promises can't come true, then God is a promise breaker. He's not a promise keeper. And God is unjust, and God is a liar. And the devil wins if the Lord can't fulfill his promise to the Jewish people. So the devil comes with all his armies to wipe out the Jewish people once and for all. And right at the ninth hour, at the last moment, here comes Jehovah Nicotim, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he comes to set his feet on the Mount of Olives. He's riding a white horse and he's got fire in his eyes. And in righteousness, he judges and wages war. And he's got an army with him, his church, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And we come with him riding on white horses. We don't do any of the fighting. He does all the fighting. But he has a sharp sword that goes out of his mouth. And he slays the Antichrist with the breath of his mouth. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat upon the horse and against his army. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. And these two were thrown alive into the lake of fire which burns with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword which came from his mouth, the mouth of him who sat upon the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh." And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 14 that the carnage is so great. See, Jesus is the one who treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God. You've seen people in a winepress and they're stomping on the grapes and the juice is coming out. That's what Jesus does with his enemies. And the carnage is so great. The Bible says that the blood comes up to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles. It's a river of blood as he stomps out his enemies. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Antichrist will be defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in closing, here's the question. What about those who missed the rapture? Hey, you're here and you haven't made a decision for Christ. If the rapture came right now, you'd be left behind. What about those who are left behind? Well, let me tell you two things about those who are left behind, because the Bible indicates this in the book of the Revelation. You're going to have millions and millions and millions of people get saved during the tribulation period. A lot of Jews are going to get saved. Bible says there are 12,000 from every tribe that'll get saved. 144,000 Jews that are going to be out there evangelizing during the tribulation period. God sends two witnesses, Revelation chapter 11, come from heaven to evangelize. We don't know who they are. Some say it's Moses and Elijah that comes back, because Moses was the one that stood up to Pharaoh. And Moses was the one that God used to perform many miracles. And Moses symbolizes the law. Elijah symbolizes the prophets. They say, well, it's Moses and Elijah that come back. Others say, well, it's Enoch, who never died. He was raptured out, and Elijah, because neither one of those guys ever died. We don't know who the two witnesses are, but these two witnesses are big time. And they're going to be preaching the truth and calling men to repentance. And those who don't want to repent aren't going to want to hear it. And they're going to want to silence these two witnesses. But if anyone tries to harm them, the Bible says fire comes out of their mouth and consumes them. You can't shut these guys up. Eventually, the Antichrist is able to overcome them, and they die, and they let their bodies just hang out in the street. And people are rejoicing, and they're giving gifts to one another. It's like Christmas time, because they said, we hated these two witnesses because they were calling us out. They were saying that we were sinners. They were saying that we were going to be judged by God. And while the cameras are on them, all of a sudden, after 3 days, God brings life back into these two guys, and they come up out of the earth, and God raptures them to heaven. And the Bible says great fear fell upon all those who saw these things. And so God uses those guys to bring many to faith in Christ. But here's the thing. While millions come to faith in Christ, especially the Jews, those who heard before the rapture and didn't respond, they're going to believe the lie. Look at verse 9, and I'm just about to land the plane. It says, that is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish. To perish means you die and go to hell. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For those who perish, why do they perish? Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. They heard the gospel and they didn't respond to the gospel. They rejected the gospel. They ignored the gospel. Verse 11, and for this reason, because they didn't respond to the love of the truth so as to be saved, God will send upon them a deluding influence. Whoa, this is God. God's supposed to be drawing us to himself, but now God is sending a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false. God is getting people to believe what is false. That doesn't sound like God. In order that they all may be judged. Why would God want anybody to be judged? Who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. God wants people to come to him. And you have time now. If you're here today and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, maybe you're thinking in your mind, you know, if the rapture does hit, that's when I'm going to get saved. Don't be so sure. You have an opportunity right now to trust Jesus if you've never done so. And listen, as Christians, we have an opportunity right now to get right with God, because many of us have allowed compromise to come into our hearts, and we're not on fire for the Lord like he wants us to be, and we're not witnessing and we're not praying. And I'm speaking to myself, because it's easy, the longer you live as a Christian, it's easy to cool off. And this is an opportunity for us to get on fire again for the Lord. Repent, therefore, and return so that your sins may be forgiven, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord.
You may have been a person on fire for the Lord in the past, but you've been cool to the things of God lately in your life. Perhaps, after listening to today's lesson, you'd like to turn from your sin and back to him today. Maybe you need to just pray and say to him, God, here is my life. Take it back. Help me to be the Christian you want me to be, to have holy conduct and godliness, and to be the witness you want me to be, depending on your power in me and not my power over sin. Or maybe you know right now that you've never been saved. You've never repented of your sin and turned your life over to Christ. Would you like to have victory in your life rather than defeat? Then do just that. Repent of your sin, ask Christ to sincerely come into your heart and make you new. And he will. It's a promise from God. To find out more about what that means to you, please go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link for important and helpful information that you can watch, listen to, and download that'll get you started on your Christian journey. Today you heard part two of the lesson, The Rise and Fall of the Antichrist. It's from Pastor Jeff's series, The Church in the Last Days, and it's also our thank you gift for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month. To help us bring these broadcasts around the world on over 800 stations around the nation and around the world on radio and television. To get your copy of The Church in the Last Days, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org and help us share what the Scripture so clearly teaches concerning the last days and how the church should prepare. We pray that you'll get your copy and be blessed. Well, our time is gone for today. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us. And we trust you'll join Pastor Jeff Shreve on television this weekend and be right back here next time for the next lesson in the series, The Church in the Last Days. That's when he'll open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.